is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for listening. Everybody coast to coast all over North America, people over borders, what's up to my friends in Canada, my friends listening in Europe. Yeah, they figured out a way how. And wherever you might be, whatever you might be doing, I hope you're safe, I hope you're well, I hope you're good. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This is a 4-hour show. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've already had a full show. Talked about the Falcons avoiding an 0-2 hole by beating the Eagles last night. Kirk Cousins, that 70-yard drive to win it. Talked about the 0-2 teams that have no chance in hell to do anything. And I told you about the terrible cold Chipotle I ate last night. I still haven't gotten confirmation from anybody. Is the food supposed to be warm? Like, when they serve it to you, is it Hickey, stop the music. It's very serious. Hickey, is the food supposed to be hot? It's supposed to be hot, right?
Yes and no. The meat should be hot. Everything else, because it's right in front of you, is cold. The tomato, the...
I had rice. It was rice. The rice
is cold.
The rice is cold?
Rice is cold. Beans are cold. Tomatoes cold. Guac is cold. Queso is cold.
Everything is cold. When's the last time you ate Chipotle?
I actually had it a few weeks ago.
And it was cold?
It was cold.
Hickey, I told them to put double meat in the burrito.
Okay.
It was cold.
Meat was cold. That's not good.
Maybe everything surrounding the... I had the chicken. I had the rice. I had the beans. They put avocado in there. I don't want that hot. Don't expect that. The guacamole, I should say. The queso, the cheese... Yeah, but what, the whole thing felt like it was sitting in the fridge and they just served it to me.
Well, it is right in front of you. You do see, you know.
I do.
There's no magic heater underneath.
Oh, man. So I know better than just don't ever go back to Chipotle.
Did your stomach hurt?
No, I felt okay.
Okay. That's my problem.
Oh, no.
My stomach hurts.
What a great commercial for them. We're safe, right? This is what they get. And by the way, if you missed last segment, we shared with you that Chipotle has a great collaboration with the Ohio State University. I love Ohio State University. I love them a lot. So y'all don't disrespect me when I come back. Please bring me back and welcome me back with open arms, especially all the wonderful people in the journalism department. But the Chipotle there, they're giving all the student athletes a free Chipotle entree a week. Now, what that does for the other 6 days, you figure it out on your own. I guess now the athletes can have jobs, so pay for your own food. But nice collaboration. Chipotle for a week, for 15 weeks, for all the student athletes. All 1,000 of them. Must be nice. Hickey, I would give it away. I'd give it to somebody else.
You, like, if you were Chipotle or if you were, like, an Ohio State player that was getting this card?
If I was a student athlete at the Ohio State University, I'd be like, man, you do something with this. I don't need this.
Oh, you just give back. Oh, you wouldn't, like, give it to another student, like your friend right. that could use it or sell it.
Have you ever been on that campus?
Ohio State? No, I have not.
Hickey, they gave me a tour of that place.
Okay.
I think whatever they're serving the student athletes... I think that food is going to be better than the Chipotle down the block, okay?
I don't think you're wrong about that.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. That's the type of thing. You know what? If you really want to do something, I'd sell it.
Why not? Make your own NIL.
I'd sell it. I'd be like, hey, 15 weeks, you know, give me $100. It's only one entree a week, so I guess you can't sell it for too much.
You that's know? A steal, though. I mean, Chipotle, I mean, it's about $10, roughly, a meal.
How much would you? That's 15 meals. That's it. 15 entrees. How much would you sell that for? You think somebody's going to buy that for more than $100?
Well, it depends who you are. If you're JR Sport Brief, the star quarterback, and all of a sudden now the students can say, hey, look, I'm not only getting Chipotle on this card, I'm getting Chipotle, and this is JR Sport Brief's card.
Uh-huh.
$200?
I have to sign. $250? Do I got to put an autograph on it?
I think so. To authenticate it, make it worth it. Yeah, but that's at least double whatever the meal would be.
You know, things are so funny in the world today. It wouldn't surprise me if there was one hand they made it so that only the whoever it was issued to could use it. And it wouldn't shock me if it was the other way, where you could just kind of freewheel this thing all over the place.
Well, if there's multiple Chipotles on campus, I don't know if there are or not, or in the area, what's to say you go to one location one day, the other location the next? Are they scanning this?
Oh, come on. Yes, of course they are.
They're scanning it, you think? I don't know if that's
one entree a week?
I think it's more in the spirit.
Hickey, I could eat two entrees of anything at one time. Okay, and I'm not in college. I'm not college age, and I'm certainly not a college athlete. You think one entree a week for an offensive lineman at Ohio State is doing what? Appetizer?
Probably. But like, it's also bad PR if all of a sudden Chipotle denies Ohio State athlete of a meal. That would not look too good.
It's good PR to say we're giving them one free meal a week. I mean, come on. Give other people a meal. People who need it. How about that? Yeah, that's my 2 cents. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. There was a point in time, the student athletes. Go ask Shabazz Napier. Man, he said it right in front of me at the Final Four. He's like, yeah, some days I'm in the season, I'm going to sleep hungry. What? Hickey, do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
Oh, my God. I heard that. I was standing right there when the man said it. And I'm like, whoa. Like, if you don't need a better case study as to why the athletes should be able to make money, what did you just hear? You got a guy, the star point guard for UConn. This man could not, he couldn't be gifted a meal. He couldn't work. He worked for UConn, and they paid him with a scholarship. Come on now. And people actually believed that crap for years. Trust me, people were calling me on the radio. All right, well, the students, they're students, and they're getting paid with a degree. Well, you work for a degree and not money, and you tell me how that works for your old ass. Come on. 855-212-4227. Let's not pay anybody. Everybody gets a piece of paper, and you figure it out from there. How fair is that? 855-212-4227. I'll tell you what's fair. Joe Giglio is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk about the Eagles' collapse from last night. I know everybody up in Philly not necessarily having the best day. Rick is here from Tampa. I don't know how his day is going. We're about to find out. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Rick, how are you?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I got a different take that you don't hear much, but I want to see what you think about it.
Okay.
Obviously, Jalen Hurts is good. Uh-huh. But the look on his face, he's not media friendly, and he always looks like his dog just died. And he's not beloved in Philly. And I think it's important to be beloved in Philly sports. I think that affects his play and even the team's play, that he's just not beloved. I mean, they tolerate him, but
I don't think
that has anything to do with his performance or the Eagles' performance. Is that he knows he's just not a beloved figure?
I don't think so. And I will ask that question to Joe Giglio when he joins us in about 10 minutes, Rick. I'll tell you this much. The man just went to the Super Bowl. All right, they had a wild collapse last year. They barely won some games. I think there's a full understanding that Jalen Hurts was injured or played last year throughout injury. I mean, the way he was running and playing last night, the guy certainly looked fine to me. He racked up more than 80 yards on the ground. I don't think that's the case. I think in Philadelphia, especially in a lot of cities in the Northeast, there can certainly be a love-hate relationship with the star athletes. If you think specifically about Philadelphia, we can go to Allen Iverson, a cult figure and hero for how hard he played, especially through a lot of his injuries. But there were a lot of times where people looked at him and just said, well, bro, are you going to play or are you going to Atlantic City? But I think ultimately when they saw him out on the court, they loved him. I think you can look at today, a guy like Joel Embiid. Do the fans in Philadelphia, do they love Joel Embiid? I don't know about that. I think they just kind of crossed their fingers and their toes with bated breath that maybe one day he'll just be healthy to go out there and compete. I don't think Jalen Hurts has given people a reason to feel one way or the other about him. Because ultimately the name of the game is to go out there and win. And they went to the Super Bowl with him. And they won last year until they didn't. And a lot of those losses were ugly. And yeah, they're 1-1 right now. Jalen Hurts played his ass off last night, despite not having A.J. Brown. I think he decided to pick up a lot of the slack offensively. And the Falcons were giving him the space to run, and he took advantage of it. And here's something else. If Saquon Barkley did not drop the football last night, would we be having any type of conversation about Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley or Nick Sirianni? I think the answer is no. You know what they say about winning. It's the ultimate deodorant. It's lipstick. Well, not lipstick on a pig, but it helps clean things up. Lipstick on a pig is still going to be a fat, ugly, pink-looking whatever it is with lipstick on. It's still ugly. Nobody's having a conversation about the Eagles if they won last night. Nothing. That's it. Zero. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hey, thank you, Rick, so much for calling from Tampa, Florida. Yeah, the Jalen Hurts is fine, man. He's good. I'll tell you this much, though. Speaking of quarterbacks, I don't know if he's loved yet. We heard Vlad from Chicago tell us that there's still some people in Chicago who want Caleb Williams back. Well, damn it, there's a guy in Pittsburgh. It looks like he's going to start another game. Justin Fields is getting the go-ahead as of right now to start his third game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Crazy how this works out. Russell Wilson injured his calf pushing a sled right before a training camp. Aggravated it again right before the season. And now Justin Fields is running the show. Wild stuff, isn't it? Ben Roethlisberger even put in his own two cents. This is a wild world. Ben Roethlisberger is like, oh, we should have Justin Fields out there. Mike Tomlin told everybody, he's like, yeah, Justin Fields, we're going to rock and roll like he is going to start week three. Listen to Mike Tomlin first.
Really, we're kind of in the same posture as we were in last week with Russ. As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week. And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration. But as I sit here today, he is not scheduled to be a full participant tomorrow in practice. And so we're readying ourselves around Justin, and we'll stay in that mindset until something else happens. Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
Russell Wilson is not playing. Come on. He's not playing. He's not going to play. Like, you done won two games. You're not going to pull the rug from underneath Justin Fields. You're not doing it. The man has completed 70% of his passes this year. He has no turnovers, which we know Mike Tomlin would just kick him off the team if he started turning the ball over. No interceptions. He has yet to lose a fumble. It was ugly how they beat the Falcons 18-10. It was ugly how they just beat the Broncos 13-1. He's only contributed one touchdown. But you just can't say, have a seat. You can't do it. They got the Chargers next, and I assume, and they'll be at home. I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers beat the Chargers at home. I know that sounds crazy. Chargers defense, they play the Raiders and the Panthers. They're only allowing not even 7 points a game. I think that has more to do with the Carolina than anything else. The Steelers went ugly. Let Justin Fields go out there and get his chance. Let him get his start. And I told you, Ben Roethlisberger, sitting around on his own podcast, footballing. Nice name. Ben Roethlisberger says that Fields should be the guy, even if Russell Wilson is healthy.
To me, if Russ is healthy, I'm sticking with Justin.
That was my next question.
I said it last week. I wouldn't. But what I saw today, I think that he has earned and deserves the right to stay there.
Listen, you roll with Justin Fields until he sucks. That's it. He's proven himself. He's not out there lighting it up. not Kyler Murray. We'll talk about Kyler Murray. He has some stuff going into the Hall of Fame. He's not Kyler Murray out there. But he hasn't sucked yet. And that's what you want. He also adds a different dynamic to the offense with his ability to run. You leave Justin Fields out there to start. If Russell Wilson is healthy, you let Justin Fields play until he stinks. Because if you really have to think about it, who has a longer shelf life here in the NFL? Is it Justin Fields? Or is it the guy who injured his calf pushing a sled? Who's going to be 36 years old in Russell Wilson? Mike Tomlin is not stupid. He knows how to play the game. Let Fields roll until he stinks. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to go from Western Pennsylvania to Eastern Pennsylvania. We're going to have a conversation with Joe Giglio. I'm going to ask him of WIP in Philadelphia, middays with my main man, Hugh Douglas. I'm going to ask Joe, you know, what are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? The fans embracing him. You know, are people sick of Nick Sirianni? What are your thoughts on the development of the defensive backs that they have brought in? What's the latest on A.J. Brown? We will talk to Joe.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Man, we've wrapped up week two of the NFL season. I can't believe it's already September 17th. And of course, I mean, with the Eagles not being undefeated, we got quite a few people out of not happy with them. We've taken some of those calls. We've got some of the messages and what have you. But to talk about it, we can get a little bit closer to the source. It's time to have a chat with Joe Giglio, who is of WIP in Philadelphia, midday host with my main man, Hugh Douglas, also pregame host for the Eagles. Joe, thank you for taking the time to join us.
You got it, JR, anytime.
Thank you. So I guess the first question is, what's the general consensus and vibe? Of course, people in Philadelphia are not happy with their inability to close out games, especially moving on into this season. Are people on the ledge, or are they mad at Sirianni? What's going on?
Yeah, well, both. Certainly on the ledge. And JR, there's a concern here that it's just a continuation of last season. You know, they made a lot of changes this offseason, new coordinators. They're bringing Saquon Barkley. The thought was, maybe they're going to get back to where they were 2 years ago, which was, you know, the best team in the NFC and made the Super Bowl. And in the first two games this year, you know, the quarterback has three interceptions already. Their defense can't stop anybody. They've had a couple of coin flip games, one that went their way, one that went the other way. And it feels a lot more like last year's Eagles, which started off well and then collapsed, than it does 2 years ago. So people are on the ledge about just the state of how good they are. And then today, a lot of blame going around for Nick Sirianni and how he handled fourth down decisions, field goal decisions, and especially the last 2 minutes of that game last night.
And Joe Giglio is joining us here from WIP in Philadelphia. People are talking more about the end of the game and the decision to throw the ball as opposed to running it and killing off some of the clock. Not as much attention goes into what took place in the second half. When it comes to Nick Sirianni and his decision making, are people more upset at the end or for getting some of the points early?
Yeah, so I would say it's the end that's caused most of the concern today and the conversation and the yelling and the screaming, as you can imagine, in Philadelphia. But really, it's the idea that it's not consistent. You know, early in the game, they're very aggressive, and they go for it on a fourth and four, despite not having A.J. Brown on the field, which obviously makes that kind of play more difficult to achieve in the red zone without your top target, and they don't get any points. And then you fast forward to late in the game, and JR, what got me about it is, okay, I get the idea you want to be aggressive. You want to end the game right there. That's why you throw the football. And obviously the play call by Kellen Moore, you know, it got a guy open. I mean, Saquon Barkley is wide open there. Unfortunately, he drops the football. But by going for it and going for the pass, you're telling me you want to end the game. Well, okay, if that's the objective, then why not go for it on the fourth down? Why give the Falcons, you know, don't run any clock, right, because it's incompletion and run any clock, and then kick the field goal? It was almost the worst possible outcome for the Eagles. They could have run clock and got a field goal. They could have run clock and went for it on fourth down. Let's say it was a tush-push, a fourth and one kind of thing. They could have thrown on third, thrown on fourth, tried to get the first down that way. But the idea of getting the field goal and not taking any time off the clock, that's the one option you couldn't do, and that's the one option they actually did last night.
Joe, you talk about aggression. We saw Jalen Hurts running last night like a man on fire. The Falcons gave him an inch, and he took a mile, 85 yards rushing. And, of course, there's no A.J. Brown, so I assume he thought he needed to take advantage a little bit more of his legs. Is there a thought or a concern that he might be doing this a little too much?
You know, there was a couple years ago, you know, when his career started, and he's done it less. Last year, he certainly did it less. He had a knee injury. First game of the season, he did it, but it wasn't as effective. It was more just like, you know, a couple yards here and there, maybe a burst for seven. Last night was actually, JR, I would say, his most impactful running game in 2 years. You know, 2 years ago, when he was second in MVP, he had games where he ran for a lot of yards. He had a quarter 2 years ago in a game against the Packers where he ran for 100 yards in a quarter. We haven't seen the kind of burst we saw last night in a long time. Of course, there is that double-edged sword. A lot of hits, 15 carries. Now it's a short week against the Saints. So I felt like last night he was doing what he had to do to try to move the football without his number one wide receiver. But yeah, there's, you know, that's always the back of people's heads here. Could he continue to do this for 17 games, and can he stay healthy? Because, you know, you look about his career, 3 years ago was an ankle, 2 years ago was a shoulder, last year was a knee. He plays through most of these things, but he's been banged up in his career.
Joe Giglio is joining us from WIP in Philadelphia. No A.J. Brown, but when can we expect to see him back out on the field?
So based on what we heard last night during the game, Lisa Salter spoke to him. It sounds like it's going to be a few weeks. Now, we found out he was hurt last Friday and then into Saturday, and then Sunday they ruled him out, but we didn't really know what happened. It just, you know, something tightened up in practice, and it seemed pretty minor. You know, it seemed like the Eagles thought maybe he could play on Monday, but then you hear Lisa Salter say she spoke to A.J. Brown, and he said it's the kind of injury that's going to be a few weeks here. And, J.R., I'm just doing the math. The Eagles have two games, and then they have a Week 5 bye. They have a very early bye, one of the earliest byes in the season this year. So I don't think we're going to see him until Week 6. If the Eagles are being smart about this, if he's going to be knocked out the next game anyway, I would imagine they probably play it safe. He doesn't play this week, obviously, and then next week in Tampa, and then the bye arrives. So it gives him, you know, about a month from injury to the next game, Week 6. I think he'll play against the Browns. So I wouldn't expect to see him in either of the next two games before the bye.
When we think about the trade for Jahan Dotson, he finished yesterday with one reception. Could you see the Philadelphia Eagles doing anything with that receiving group if A.J. is going to be out for an extended time?
They could. I mean, Dotson feels like the move they made is to preempt this, and I thought it was necessary by Howie Roseman because, you know, the last 2 years, you know, Brown and Smith, Devontae Smith, have played a lot. They're very durable. They're tremendous receivers. But the depth behind those guys, it's not great. And you say to yourself, okay, they're great, but what if they get hurt? And now we're in that what-if scenario. I doubt a team is going to trade a receiver now, you know, before the deadline, as these teams still try to, you know, create something for themselves this season. But, yeah, I mean, if something happens or it's an extended period or there's a relapse, yeah, they might have to do something. And as far as Dotson last night, people thought maybe it's going to be a big night for him. You know, that was an interesting trade. I got why they did it. I thought it was a good idea. But you do wonder on the other side of it, JR, why are the Commanders dumping a first-round pick from 2 years ago within the division? It makes you wonder, maybe he's not the player that we thought he was coming out of the draft if that team was willing to give him up so quickly.
Yeah, Eagles pregame host Joe Giglio is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. On the defensive side of the ball, we know dating back to last year, whether it was the health of the linebackers or the defensive backs, they tried to adjust some of that. Saquon Barkley certainly took some responsibility for dropping the ball last night. Darius Slay says it was my fault for allowing Drake London to have so much space. Quinyon Mitchell is still in his rookie season. Cooper DeJean, it finally got some snaps yesterday at the end of the game. What are your thoughts on how the defense has played so far, even though it's only been two games?
So I think they've been more opportunistic than they were last year. They've been better in the red zone than they were last year. But the issue is that two major things, and it's very difficult to achieve long-term success when you can't do these things. They're bad against the run, which is really surprising for them, I think, because they spent back-to-back years, first-round picks, on defensive tackles from Georgia and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, with the expectation those guys would kind of dominate inside, and it hasn't happened enough, so they can't stop the run. They've allowed 14 rushes already this season of 14 yards. I mean, it's incredible how they're getting gashed in the run game through 2 weeks, and they can't get to the quarterback. That's the other issue. You know, JR, there's obviously this saga in New York with Hassan Reddick, but the Eagles had a great pass rusher in Hassan Reddick. They couldn't figure out a contract with him. They didn't want to pay him, and they shipped him to the Jets, and he's the Jets' problem now. And that's one part of it. I get that. But they didn't adequately replace Hassan Reddick. They tried to sign Bryce Huff, a young player who's had a little bit of success in the NFL, but he looks like he's lost right now, trying to transition from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and be an edge rusher. He's gotten nowhere near the quarterback the first 2 weeks. So if you can't stop the run and you can't get after the quarterback, it's a problem. And that, so their defense right now, although they've been pretty good in the red zone and it's kept the total points down, they're giving up a lot of yards. They're dead last NFL in yards per play allowed in the first 2 weeks of the season.
In a funny world, why can't the Jets just swap the guys back, send Bryce Huff back up 95 and send Hassan back down, and everybody goes home happy, right?
You know what? It's the old Occam's razor thing. The simplest explanation is usually the best one. And yeah, you know what? If they could make the money work for everyone, I think both coaches, both teams, both locker rooms probably, because Reddick was a popular player. He's a local kid, you know, local guy from Camden, New Jersey. I think everyone would be very happy about that, but obviously, these things are a little more complicated when you get agents and contracts involved.
Hey, Joe, we were asked before you joined us. We had a caller who reached out and said, I don't think the fans in Philadelphia like, you know, Jalen. I don't think the fans appreciate him. He comes across as kind of, you know, hands-off-ish when it comes to the media, and he's not beloved like a lot of other Philly figures. Is that something that's accurate? Is he kind of just put-off-ish?
I don't think it is, not at least for everyone. I mean, there's always some fans who don't love a particular player, you know, or love someone that no one else does. You know, you get the outliers here. I think people respect Jalen. I think, you know, he's been a gamer. He's been a really good young quarterback for the Eagles, helped him get to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I do think, JR, there's some concern here in what's happened to his game, you know, the last two seasons, last season and then the first two games of this season, because when he first started out as Eagles quarterback, 2021 and then the great 2022, he didn't turn the football over. It was our favorite thing about him. I just think generally as a fan base that he protected the ball. He didn't turn it over. He made plays on the ground and with his arm. And then since the beginning of last year, the turnovers are piling up. I think he, after the pick last night to end the game, he leads the NFL in turnovers since the start of last year. So I think there's some concern that he's regressing as a player. But in terms of likability, you know, he's quiet. He's not going to give you a lot in a press conference. But I do think people realize he's a hard worker. Seems like a really good guy who's giving back to the community. And I think most people generally like Jalen Hurts. It's just a matter of, you know, is he as good as people thought he was?
Is there any concern as it relates to the Jason Kelce effect? Not so much that he's sitting on the couch right now, but he's doing podcasts and radio and TV, and he's not front and center for Hurts.
Sure. I mean, it's a different role now for Jalen Hurts. You know, he didn't really call it the blitzes his first year. It was all Kelce. So there's like that trickle-down effect. And you know, when there was a lot of conversation, JR, this offseason, that the Eagles would be better, that they were a better roster, I kept saying, well, they're better in certain areas, right? Saquon Barkley is an upgrade over DeAndre Swift. They upgraded there. But they also lost two guys that will be in the Eagles Hall of Fame, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. One of those will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Kelce. And I think Cox is an interesting, you know, candidate, probably more of a borderline guy. But they're great players. And it's tough to replace their play on the field and their leadership and then just say you're a better team. I thought the same thing, JR, about the Rams. When I was like, they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm like, all right, they lost Aaron Donald. It's not easy to lose these all-time players and be better without them year one. So I do think they miss that both in the leadership and then just the play, the steadiness of Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. It's not easy to replace guys like that.
Joe Giglio is joining us from WIP in Philadelphia. What is your expectation for this team? Where do you think they can go? What's the high? What's the low for this year?
Yeah, well, the low, I think we have to recalibrate that after last night, especially when you factor in it keeps looking more and more like last year. And, JR, remember how they ended the season. Now, I think they'll probably stabilize and won't be a terrible team this season the way they were from, say, Thanksgiving onward at the end of last year. But I also think as we kind of have a floor, we have to have a realistic ceiling. JR, I don't see a team that looks like a great football team. I don't see a team that's going to win 12 or 13 games and dominate the NFC. Again, they can't get after the quarterback, they can't stop the run, and they turn the ball over a lot on offense. Excuse me, that's tough to overcome. Now, the silver lining for them is I don't think the NFC East is very good. In fact, I think it could end up being one of the worst divisions in the NFL. The Giants are terrible. Washington, I think, is interesting because Jaden Daniels is impressing me. But they probably have a ceiling on how good they could be year one with a new coach and a young quarterback. Dallas took a step back. JR, I think the Eagles are definitely more mediocre than excellent, but mediocre could win the NFC East. I think this division could be one of those years where it's a race to 9-8.
How realistic is it that Nick Sirianni gets the boot at the end of this year? We certainly heard it a lot. The rumors fly around that, oh, Belichick will come in and swoop in, or maybe he goes to coach the Giants. Is Nick Sirianni having to sweat out this whole year?
Yes, I think it's very possible he's not the Eagles coach next season. I think the hot seat talk will be there all year. I mean, JR, they took 8 days after the postseason loss last year to have their end-of-season press conference. And as the reports came out, and then we found out later on, they did talk through the idea of Bill Belichick. It's one of those things where they stayed together, but it was rocky, right? This was a relationship that almost ended at the end of last season. I think when you couple that in, if this isn't a team that turns into a good one by year's end and they miss the playoffs or they get in barely and then lose in the first round, I think Sirianni is on shaky ground. Remember, this is a team that fired Doug Peterson just a couple years removed from winning the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl the Eagles ever won. So when that happened, that told me nobody's really safe. They fired Andy Reid here in Philadelphia. Andy Reid's going to go down as a top five coach, probably is already, ever. And obviously, you know, after 14 years, they moved on. So if you can move on from that great of a coach and a Super Bowl winning coach in Doug Peterson, yeah, Sirianni's certainly in the hot seat here.
Okay, so the Philadelphia Eagles, they're like Jennifer Lopez, huh? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, the other thing about it is, I'm not sure if this will be more in the NFL as years go on or the Eagles are kind of on their own with this, but JR, I truly believe, and it really stemmed from a disastrous tenure with Chip Kelly when he took over all the power. I think the owner here and the GM don't want the coach to have too much power. Hmm. And what I mean by that is I look at the Eagles and I think, it's just my theory, they view the head coach as like the manager in baseball. We'll pick the team, we'll pick the coordinators, and you just manage the game, right? You do the pitching changes during the game. You know, just don't screw it up, and then you could keep your job. That's the way I think they view the head coach. And in baseball, we see this all the time. It's very easy to move on from managers because it's not that difficult considering what the job status is and what you have to do to do that job. It's changed over the years. I think the Eagles view head coaches like that. I don't think it would be a seismic thing for them to change the coach, even though, you know, to be fair, he had them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, touche. Well, Joe, thank you for the time. I say this, if they give Nick Sirianni the boot, they need to allow him an exit press conference. I need a great quote the same way we got all those quotes when he was introduced. I need to hear what the exit would sound like.
It's the only fair thing to do. We'll air it on WIP. It'll be great. Thank you, JR.
And I'll stay tuned. Where can people follow you and keep up with all your work, Joe?
At Joe Giglio Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and the Midday Show Odyssey app. Just download it for your show, my show, all the great shows. Odyssey app, you find it there.
Appreciate that. We'll catch you on down the line, Joe, okay?
You got it, JR. Thank you.
No, thank you. That Joe Giglio of WIP in Philadelphia, Eagles pregame host and midday host with my friend Hugh Douglas. Nick Sirianni, I'm not lying. If they fire him, you have to allow him to speak, because his introductory press conference sounded like a disaster in and of itself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. When we come back, we're going to talk about the disaster of a quarterback who still might have some hope. I'll tell you who it is on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Joe Giglio for joining us in the last break. Eagles pregame host, co-host on WIP in Philadelphia, giving us the lowdown on the Philadelphia Eagles. The way it sounded from Joe, and you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app, he doesn't expect the Eagles to be just a dominant team in the NFC like they were on that run to the Super Bowl. What he also said is that it is realistic that Nick Sirianni, if things don't work out this year, the Philadelphia Eagles will not be shy in giving him the boot. And he certainly went through a list of their coaches, whether it be Andy Reid or Doug Peterson, that they have had no problem getting rid of despite the success of the franchise at any given moment. At that point, I said, well, it's kind of like Jennifer Lopez. Hickey, I'm trying to do some simple math here. And I learned this because I read a lot of things. I think she's been engaged 6 different times and married 3. I think.
Wow. Now, do you give the ring back?
Oh, wow.
Or does she just have 6 rings and 3 wedding bands collected right now in some sort of like sick trophy case?
I don't know. Well, damn, she'd been married 4 times. Wow. Man, fourth. Listen, there's been people married. Hickey, I know somebody been married almost twice that many times.
What?
Yeah, okay.
Wow, I'm sure they always tell you that it's not them, it's the other person. But
wow. Anyway, so, I mean, we can ask Alex Rodriguez, who, by the way, I learned today. I don't know how late I am. Did you know A-Rod has a podcast?
No.
I think it's called, like, The Art of the Deal or something like that. I'm saying to myself, I don't want to listen to this guy. Well, I don't want to listen to him.
I learned A-Rod's on TikTok recently.
Do you know
what his favorite store is?
His favorite store?
Favorite store.
Oh, my God. Wait. Alex Rodriguez, favorite store. Okay, let's, okay. Can I get a hint? Like, what type of category?
Okay, it's favorite food store.
Oh, okay, it's favorite food store.
Favorite food store. Happens to be my favorite food store as well.
Oh, I don't know. Whole Foods?
No, not Whole Foods. Trader Joe's. How about that?
A-Rod does not go to Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's too. Alex Rodriguez is taking his big ass into Trader Joe's to buy cookies and... He think he is?
Who's in the TikTok video I watched,
he's in Trader Joe's?
Claimed to be in Trader Joe's. He claimed to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Right. I guess that's where his daughter goes. During, I think, the Texas game, while the game was going on, claiming to be shopping at Trader Joe's for food that his girlfriend slash daughter might need.
So that's the only time that he could go to Trader Joe's when a football game is going on.
Which
right?
makes sense. Nobody is there.
Oh, wow. A-Rod spotted shopping at Trader Joe's in Ann Arbor. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Oh, is a headline? Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that's him. That's Alex Rodriguez. His big ass in Trader Joe's. He got a million-dollar watch on. He has on a houndstooth coat.
Oh, wow.
Is no, with a hoodie.
He took that coat off for the video, just to let you know.
Maybe. Oh, did he?
Try to seem more humble and down to earth.
Alex Rodriguez is pushing a shopping cart.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's one of us.
He is. The people's man.
Okay. Good for him. That's the one time he's been in a supermarket in, I don't know, 20 years.
Probably right about that.
I'm not buying the hype on that one. Not buying the hype on that one. Next thing you know, Alex Rodriguez is going to tell you he's going to Chipotle as well. Yeah. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez. Just like the students at Ohio State, one Chipotle meal a week. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Falcon safety Jesse Bates. He put the final nail in the coffin last night, finishing off those Eagles Monday Night Football game-sealing interception against Jalen Hurts. Bates, he led all defenders with 12 tackles, 2 passes defended, and Atlanta won their first game of the season, which made people here in Atlanta very, very happy. 855-212-4227. Thomas is calling from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, JR. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. So, your key question that you posted on your Twitter, I just want to answer quick before I dive into some Green Bay Packers talk here.
What
Who's
question?
The most blame for the... Go ahead.
Oh, no. I didn't know what question I asked, but go ahead.
Infinity Sports Network. I apologize.
Okay.
Who is the most blame? That's on me. I apologize. Who is the most blame for the Eagles' loss to the Falcons from Monday Night Football? If I'm being honest, JR, I think part of it falls on Nick Sirianni and the coaching staff, right? Because they didn't have the right game plan going in to execute against the Falcons, who are an easily beatable team, in my opinion, right? Part of it falls on the offensive game plan. Then again, Jalen Hurts was able to run pretty well, I would say, scrambling-wise against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, that being said, the defense also struggled a little bit at times against the Falcons. I mean, you could see that with some of the Kirk Cousins passes. I was able to only catch the second half because I was a little...
Yeah, they were winning the game. Like, everybody here in Atlanta was sweating. Everybody was afraid that they were going to go 0-2. How about it's as simple as this? And Thomas, I got to hit the break in a second. You got anything else you want to say very quickly?
Very quickly. So I have a friend named Rob, or Rob Doug.
Thomas.
His Bears lost You know, this past Monday night.
Thomas, hold. I don't have that much time. Just give me the question.
The question is, any encouraging thoughts for him as the Bears might be struggling potentially okay. the rest of the season?
I got you, Thomas. Thank you so much for calling from Wisconsin. I don't want to rush you. I just want to try to get in as much as possible. We talked about that. I'm not worried about the Bears. It's two games. Leave it alone there. I think it's as simple as that. Not that complicated. And then how about for the Eagles last night? Saquon Barkley just dropped the ball. Sometimes it's as simple as that. One guy dropped the ball. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have a conversation about a quarterback who's going into the Hall of Fame and another one who's just trying to get a starting opportunity. Don't move. The Infinity Sports Network, the JR Sport Brief Show.